Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. Hear the word of the Lord. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning to the truth of your word, that as the scriptures are read and proclaimed, we may hear with great joy what you have to say to us today. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. We are continuing to work our way through this series in Proverbs, and if you were with us, you'll remember that we spent several Sundays on the front end in the first major section of the book, chapters 1 through 9. Those are those discourses that introduce the book. Those are those discourses by the father and the mother to the young son, encouraging him to follow after the path of life rather than the path of death, to follow after Lady Wisdom rather than Lady Folly. Those discourses set the interpretive guide to chapters 10 through 31. That's the second major portion of the book. Those short, pithy sayings, the proverbs, the practical life wisdom collected by the father for the son. The father knows that these exhortations about navigating life, the how-tos, are practically worthless if you miss the point of the first discourses, which is enter into a relationship with Lady Wisdom. And we saw that how that personification of wisdom in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the physical incarnation of wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in short, the only way we can grow in practical wisdom, chapters 10 through 31, is if chapters 1 through 9 has led us into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. So having laid that groundwork, we've now, for the last couple of Sundays, approached the second major portion of the book, those pithy sayings, the Proverbs. And they seem to be randomly scattered if you just read through chapters 10 through 31. There's not much of an organizational set. But our approach has been read through those chapters, begin to identify proverbs here and there that deal with certain themes, group them together, read them as a whole, and draw out principles. And so I'm focusing, I think, on the major themes covered by the Proverbs. We looked at friends last week. This week we're looking at parents. And always coming back to this principle that Proverbs is not just about how-tos, but we ground these Proverbs in that deeply theological, that deeply Christological framework of chapters 1 through 9. So when we look at parents this morning, I think we'll see that it organically leads us to, points us to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Because ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament is presented as the ideal son, the perfect son. Every element of God's wisdom in Proverbs is embodied in Jesus Christ. So in other words, the book of Proverbs is a book about Jesus Christ. And as the faithful son, as the ideal son, we'll also see just a part of his redemptive work on our behalf. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs has to do with all kinds of relationships. We've already seen one as we looked at friends last time we were together. Wisdom literature deals with relationships with the poor. It deals with relationships with spouses. It deals with relationships with children. Lord willing, we'll look at those two themes in the upcoming weeks. It deals with relationships with animals. It deals with relationships with evil people. It deals with relationships with good company. It also has a lot to say about our relationships to our parents, and every one of us have a mom and a dad. So this speaks to all of us. The question is, how can we grow in wisdom toward our parents? Well, as I read the book of Proverbs, I think it is absolutely, when it comes to dealing with relationship with our parents, flowing out of, and I think we would expect this, and driven by the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And you may remember that the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, is the only commandment that contains a promise. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. There's a wonderful commentary on the fifth commandment found in Ephesians 6. I don't want to go there this morning, but you may want to look at it later. And as I read that fifth commandment, and the only commandment with a promise of some sort attached to it, I can't help but think and hear this functions in a very similar way as a proverb. It's not technically a proverb, but it sure has the ring of the wisdom of Proverbs. You know, we've been emphasizing as we go through Proverbs, Proverbs are not intended to be universally true statements. They are not absolute laws. They are not 100% guarantees all the time and any time. But instead, Proverbs are generally true. Generally true. There's a difference in saying something is always absolutely true and something is generally true. Something that's generally true, by definition, has exceptions. By definition, is not always the case. And you add to that the fact that Proverbs are so highly context sensitive. They have to be applied to the right people, at the right place, under the right circumstances. And even then, there's still the sense that they are generally true. I think the fifth commandment falls into that same principle. It's not that if you honor your father and your mother, you are absolutely 100% guaranteed a long life and land. It's a general truth. It falls in that same general recognition of Proverbs. If you follow the wisdom of God, generally, troubles in your life will be minimized. Will they be taken away? No, they will not. But there are a lot of troubles in this life, if you follow after the wisdom of God, that are avoidable. If you follow after the wisdom of God to honor your father and mother, generally speaking, you will avoid troubles in life that you don't have to encounter. I think that's the same interpretive principle. In fact, when we read in the Shorter Catechism, the interpretation of the fifth commandment, it recognizes that. Many of you remember this answer in the Shorter Catechism. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment to honor your father and mother? The reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity, parentheses, as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good, close parentheses. There's the generally speaking. There's the, it's not an absolute law. It's not an absolute guarantee. To all such as keep this commandment. Well, I think the fifth commandment clearly is driving the themes that emerge in Proverbs regarding how we relate to our parents. And again, I would emphasize these apply to us all. We all have parents, and it applies to us at any age. You know, the metaphor here is the young man, 18, 19, 20. But we're not exempt from the fifth commandment when we grow up and become adults and have aging parents. We still are called to honor them. And the central theme in Proverbs is honoring our parents and making them glad. Now, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Our passage this morning, chapter 4, is part of the discourses, the introductory discourses. But when you get to chapter 10, you move into that second major section of the book. And here are the pithy sayings. And I don't think it's a coincidence that pithy saying number 1, the very first proverb that King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived next to Jesus Christ, collected, is this. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son makes a glad father, or a wise daughter makes a glad father. But a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. There are multiple proverbs emphasizing these key words. A wise child makes their parents glad. A wise child makes their parents happy. A wise child brings honor to their parents. And the converse of that is a foolish child brings sorrow to their parents. A foolish child brings cursings to their parents. A foolish child hurts their parents. The basic idea in this whole cluster of proverbs is that if you're a wise child, you'll make your godly parents happy. And if you're a foolish child, you'll make your godly parents sad. And so the principle here is that your wisdom, your foolishness, my wisdom, my foolishness has emotional consequences for your parents. Your wisdom or your foolishness has emotional consequences for your parents. And one of the points we've been making through our study of the book of Proverbs is that the practical proverbs found in chapters 10 to the end of the book, if we're grounded in chapters 1 through 9, serve as a spiritual barometer of where you are in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's how this works. Here's a spiritual barometer. If you bring your parents shame because of your decisions, if I bring my parents shame because of my foolish words, if I bring my parents shame because of my foolish actions, that is an indicator that you have a problem with Jesus Christ. If I bring my parents sorrow because I choose friends who corrupt me, if I make my parents brokenhearted because I become addicted by my own choices to drugs and alcohol, if I break my parents' hearts because I get involved with peers who corrupt me, ultimately what that reveals is that I have a problem with Jesus. See how chapters 1 through 9 are so important? This isn't just moralism. This isn't just how-tos. This comes back to the question of being made right with the God and creator of the universe. And friends, plenty of parents feel heartaches because of the decisions that their children have made, and it's not so much because of the decisions themselves. But for a wise, godly parent, it is because they know this is an indicator of a problem that their child has with their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we make a wise parent glad? How do we honor a wise parent? Well, Proverbs has a lot to say about that too. But I just want to make 2 points because I think this sums it up. Look back at our passage this morning, chapter 4. How do we honor our parents for our own spiritual good? How do we honor our parents in order to avoid unnecessary trouble in life? Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. One way that we bring honor to our parents, one way that we make our parents glad, is to heed their instruction. Again, this is assuming these are wise parents. This doesn't work if they're not wise parents, if they're not godly parents, if they're not Christian parents. Assuming that they are, which these types of proverbs do, the way we honor them, the way we make them glad, is to heed their instruction, or if you skip down to verses 26, 27, to follow their path. And there's several proverbs we could look at that fall in this category. Heed their instruction, follow their path. Look at verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet, then your ways will be true. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. If your parents are wise, one way you honor them is by imitating their faith. If your parents are wise, one way you honor them, one way you make them glad, is by imitating their walk with Christ. And how especially true is that of the young man, the 18, the 19, the 20-year-old, the adolescent transitioning into adulthood, when we are naturally required to make more and more major decisions about our own moral character, when we are naturally required to make more and more major decisions about our own faith and beliefs and relationship with God, the Proverbs present that as ideally a time when we personally embrace the morality of our parents, when we personally embrace the Christian faith of our parents. That is the ideal scenario that's laid out in the Proverbs. Heed their instruction, follow their path. But sadly, of course, we know for some adolescents, it's a time of overthrowing the values of the parents, rejecting the values of the parents. And Proverbs often warns against that. Don't be enticed by the gang. Don't be enticed by the bad crowd. Don't be enticed by the prostitute. Don't be enticed by Lady Folly. If you do, it will be hurtful and destructive, generally speaking. You see how that works? If you're honoring your parents, if you're making them glad, if you're heeding their teaching, if you're following after Christ and their faith, the fifth commandment and the Proverbs say you're going to avoid a lot of unnecessary trouble in life. But just the opposite, if you reject all that and you break your parents' heart and you reject their faith and you reject their Christian morality, you're generally going to take more hurtful and destructive consequences upon yourself that you did not have to endure. Of course, in God's providence, sometimes that's the way it goes. For some, they have to stay in the pig pen for some amount of time before they come to their senses. Heed their instruction. Let me give you a second way that I think Proverbs encourages us to honor our parents, to make our parents glad and not sad. Verse 23 of our passage, chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart, or guard your heart, with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Heed their instruction. And number two, guard your heart. Guard your heart. The heart is the center of your inner life. The heart is the center of your thinking. The center of your thinking, your feeling, your loving, your being, your choosing. In Hebrew, the heart is who you are. It's your inner person. The parent says, to honor me, to make me glad, guard your heart. Guard your heart internally and guard your heart externally. Look at the context here. The full context of verse 23 gives us insight into how we can guard our hearts. There's an internal component to this. There's an external component to this. Verses 20 through 22 speak of the internal component, the internal disciplines. My son, verse 20, Be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. You see what he's saying there? The way you guard your heart internally is to internalize the words of wisdom, internalize the words of Proverbs, and in a larger context, internalize the words of Holy Scripture. Get the Word of God into your heart. Read it, digest it, internalize it, learn it, memorize it, meditate on it. He says, if you do, from the inside out, the Word of God will bring healing to your heart and to your mind and to your soul and to your being, what the Hebrew calls heart. They have a healing effect. God's truth, God's word, God's wisdom promotes wholeness on the soul from the inside out. It's got a powerful influence for good. I hope, if we do nothing else as a church, we get the Word of God, we get the words of life internalized into our children. That's how you internally guard your heart and make your parents glad. There's an external component to this too. Look at verses 24 to 27. The command is in verse 23, guard your heart. You do that internally by internalizing the Word of God, but there's an external component to this. Look at these external disciplines. These verses speak of what we take in externally. Verse 24, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. That is how you externally guard your heart. But look what comes first. This is so important. You got to get the order right. If you flip the order, you just become a self-righteous, legalistic Pharisee. Step one, Proverbs 1 through 9. Guard your heart internally. Digest the Word of God and let it transform your heart. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and let Him transform your heart. And as you do that internally, it will drive the externals. The externals will flow from that. Then your eyes will know where to look and where not to look. Then your feet will be guided where to walk and where not to walk. See how that works? The external guarding flows out of the primary internal guarding. And if this comes back to the emotional consequences that this has on a parent as a barometer, spiritual barometer for where we are with Christ, there is no greater joy than I can imagine as a parent to have my children grow up heeding the instruction of their parents to follow after Jesus Christ and guarding their hearts. I'll die a happy man knowing that that has happened. What a blessing. What a blessing. I think all of us, no matter how old we are or young, would have to admit that along the way we have made decisions that have hurt our parents. I am not at all exempt from that. But surely, naturally, and organically, this points us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ was the perfect Son that he might redeem us as imperfect children. He's the ideal son. He's the ideal son of Proverbs 4. He's the ideal son who perfectly made his father glad. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He's the ideal son who heeded his father's instructions perfectly, even to the point of giving his life for his people. John 5:19, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of God can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees his father doing. For whatever the father does, the son does likewise." He perfectly guarded his heart. Perfectly guarded his heart. Every stage through 33 years, give or take, of his life on this earth, he obeyed and knew no sin. In fact, the awareness of his sinlessness was part of his human consciousness. So you get statements like John 8:46, "Which one of you convicts me of sin? Who can convict me of sin? I have no sin." He knew it. He perfectly honored his parents. Luke 2:51 points out that Jesus, as a young boy, perfectly submitted to all the instruction of his godly parents that Mary and Joseph gave. But let me take you to what I think is one of the most moving examples of Jesus honoring and making his parents glad. Turn with me to John 19. Perhaps here more than any other example, we see how it is that Christ perfectly fulfills the wisdom of Proverbs and this idea of making our parents glad. Here is Christ hanging on the cross, suffocating to death, not to mention the burden of the world's redemption resting on his shoulders. At the most pivotal point in the history of all creation. And John is very careful to point out to us an amazing statement, beginning in verse 26. Hanging with the burden of the world's redemption on his shoulders. Verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, suffocating to death, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. He makes provisions for his 50-year-old mother to be taken care of by an adopted son in John as he dies on the cross for the sins of the world. Why does he do that? To honor, to perfectly honor his mother. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus perfectly kept the fifth commandment for you. And not only does he offer his perfect record of righteousness in this category to you, but he laid down his life and he died the death that we deserve to die. He rose again from the dead, that we might have eternal life. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending the perfect Son to secure our redemption as fallen sinners. Receive us in him for all of eternity, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.